You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be sure to tell your friends about us. Well, look, I want to talk today a little bit more about the incredible memorial service for Charlie Kirk. Now, I know it's been some weeks now, and as does all events, this is fading a little bit. But I really want to zero in on it because I don't want you to forget what I think is the most significant thing that is coming out of the memorial service. Churches are reporting. I've talked to a number of pastors personally in the last week or so, but I'm also seeing reports from around the country. It appears that that memorial service has led to an inflow again of Americans back to their churches. People that left the church in recent years, or in many cases, young people that weren't raised in Christian homes, and now they are trying out church because of what they heard at the memorial service. Now, the memorial service itself, and man, I hope you watched it. You know, there was a football game or two on that Sunday. Maybe in your household, you had to change the channel to satisfy everybody, but you can still go back and watch a good bit of this. It's captured in a variety of ways. The service was 5 hours long, and almost through the entire 5 hours, there was, one way or another, the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It featured an altar call that was seen by over 200,000 people live, gathered in Arizona at the main arena, and then at some arenas that were nearby. And the estimates are, now listen to this, this is unbelievable. The estimates are that 100 million people worldwide saw the gospel of Jesus Christ during that memorial service. This is something that is unprecedented, and it's got to have an impact. There were events in South Korea, throughout Europe and Asia and Africa, all built around what happened at that memorial service. Now, I think there's something else here, and I really want to talk about this. It's something that ought to bring us comfort, because I have heard over the decades, over and over again, people will say to me, Gary, are there any Christians in government, any Christians in Washington? Do you run into Christians when you're up on Capitol Hill? And under various presidents, they've said, do you know anything about this president or that president or vice president? Are any of these guys or ladies really Christians? Well, look at what was happening at this memorial service. The top leadership of our country was there. President Trump, Vice President Vance, Secretary of State Rubio, Secretary of what we now call the Secretary of War, used to be Secretary of Defense, but the Secretary of War, Hegseth, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr., and many others. And virtually every speaker presented nuggets of wisdom about America and the importance of faith, family, and freedom. Many of them presented the gospel of Jesus Christ directly. Now, look, this is why this is important. Beginning in the early 1960s, the Christian faith in America has been pushed out of the public square and marginalized by very powerful forces, very extreme secularists, by legal groups that filed lawsuits. We had a series of bad Supreme Court decisions beginning in the 1960s. And all of this had the effect of keeping Christians, the Christian faith, out of the public square and attempting to marginalize us That's totally unacceptable. The country was founded by men who believed in Jesus Christ. And so for the country or these forces to marginalize us is unacceptable. But that's what happened. God and the Bible were taken out of the schools by Supreme Court rulings with disastrous results for our children. One of the most significant provisions in our Constitution, that government cannot interfere in the church, was twisted by radical secularists into a demand that the church and Christians are supposed to stay out of the government. But we just saw in Arizona dozens of prominent Americans, many of them elected government officials, praising the name of Jesus Christ. During that memorial service, that Sunday, the followers of Jesus Christ were there for everybody to see. We were in the public square. We occupied the public square. And we should not at this point let any force in America push us back out. Now, this marginalizing of faith that's taken place over the decades has affected our children more than anybody else. Our children have been taught virtually nothing about America's real history. And our children and grandchildren saw the gospel proclaimed for hours on the public airways. So I want to further reassure you by sharing some of the things that have been said, or some of the things that were said at the memorial. I know most of you aren't going to go back and listen to or watch the whole 5 hours, but you can take some comfort if you just internalize the things I want to share with you right now. Let's go to J.D. Vance first, the Vice President of the United States. And I want to just play a brief clip for you of his message at that memorial.
And that is perhaps the enduring legacy of Charlie Kirk. You know, I was telling somebody backstage that I always felt a little uncomfortable talking about my faith in public as much as I loved the Lord and as much as it was an important part of my life. I have talked more about Jesus Christ in the past 2 weeks than I have my entire time in public life. And that is an undeniable legacy of the great Charlie Kirk. You know, he loved God. And because he loved God, he wanted to understand God's creation and the men and women made in his image. Now, much has been said over the last week about Charlie's ability to approach any topic, any person in good faith, an achievement that was only possible because Charlie knew that we were all children of God. He knew deep down the truth of Scripture. And from that confidence, everything else flowed. That unshakable belief in the gospel led him to see differences in opinion, not as battlefields to conquer, but as way stations in the pursuit of truth. He knew it was right to love others, your neighbor, your interlocutor, your enemy. But he also understood his duty to say what is right and what is wrong, to distinguish what is false from what is true.
Now, those were remarkable comments by the Vice President. You know, the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, was close personal friends with Charlie Kirk. He is, of course, the President of the United States' right-hand man as Vice President. And he is, if you had to make a guess right now, he will likely be the next nominee of the Republican Party himself to be President of the United States. And here's Vice President Vance, and what does he share with the audience? That, until recently, he was not totally comfortable talking about Jesus Christ publicly. Now, come on, let's be honest. I know some of you are gung-ho about sharing the gospel. That's what we're called to do. I do my best at doing that. But I know people who are marathon runners when it comes to sharing the gospel. They can meet somebody, and within 5 minutes, they're telling them about Jesus. But we also know that a lot of us are a little uncomfortable about it. Yes, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We read our Bible, but we're just not going to walk up to somebody that we just meet and say, hey, have I told you about Jesus? Here's a Bible for you. People do get uncomfortable, and the Vice President of the United States just admitted in the clip we listened to that he's been a little hesitant about it until the last couple of weeks. When he has heard the name Jesus Christ discussed publicly around the people that are around him in the White House, around Washington, D.C., and everywhere else in the news and elsewhere, because of the horrible assassination of Charlie Kirk, and then the memorial service, more people are talking about Jesus. And so that horror, what was meant for evil, God has turned into something good. The vice president said something else, too, that I think is really important, that we have a duty not only to spread the gospel, of course, and to talk about Jesus, but we have a duty to talk about what's right and wrong, what is moral and immoral. This country desperately needs to hear that message. And the vice president of the United States just said we have an obligation to spread it. And it's not just the vice president of the United States. How about Secretary of State Rubio? You know, the Secretary of State of the United States has the obligation, the job, to interact with hundreds of countries around the world. Let's listen to what Secretary of State Rubio said in his remarks at the memorial for Charlie Kirk.
One of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man, but on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
Well, I don't know how you can present the gospel clearer than that. The Secretary of State just said the biblical message of salvation, that God became man, that he sent his son to planet Earth, that his son presented the gospel, that his son was killed, he was crucified, that he rose from the dead, and that through that sacrifice on the cross, all of mankind can be saved. Millions of people just heard that, coming from the Secretary of State of the United States. He also said something that I think all of us think about sometimes when we lose a loved one. We've been thinking about it a lot here at the James Dobson Family Institute as we lost our leader not so many weeks ago, Dr. Dobson. We know when we lose a spouse, a parent, somebody that we care about deeply, we often will talk about, you know, I can't wait until we have that big reunion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have this belief, and it's biblically based, that we're all going to see our loved ones again. We will have that chance to be with them again for eternity. And we were just told by the Secretary of State of the United States that that's something we can look forward to. Well, the Vice President of the United States, the Secretary of State, let's go to the guy that's Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. Well, what could be godly about being the Secretary of War? Well, you know, my friends, over America's history, you've heard the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. War is a terrible thing. God does not like or want war. But we are taught by history that war is sometimes necessary, as horrible as it is. And Secretary of War Hegseth has made it very clear that the United States military needs to depend on God. Now, I want to share with you what he said at the memorial service.
But over time, he realized, like so many of us have, that this is not a political war. It's not even a cultural war. It's a spiritual war. Faith and family first. There is a God, and as Charlie would say, it is not us. We're sinners saved only by grace in need of the gospel. You see, we always did need less government. But what Charlie understood and infused into his movement is we also needed a lot more God.
Wow, we need a lot more God. You know, when I sat down to do the podcast, to record this podcast, by coincidence, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth was speaking at the Marine Corps base in Southern Virginia, Quantico. And there, speaking to all the top officers that were brought to the United States and from around the United States for this meeting at Quantico to hear from the Secretary of War and to hear from the President of the United States, there were powerful messages delivered. The Secretary of War Hegseth said to the military, guys, this is a call to shape up. No more woke military. We need to be prepared for what's coming down the road. And I think everybody out there knows that there are events occurring around the world that may eventually, God willing, it won't, but may eventually lead to another world war. And Secretary Hegseth, at this meeting of top American military leaders and officers, closed his remarks by reminding them that he was holding a prayer breakfast regularly at the Defense Department. And he said that at that prayer breakfast, he would close by saying what's sometimes referred to as the commander's prayer. It's known by other names too. What should a leader, what should a commander that has the lives of America's sons and daughters in their hands, what should they pray for? And I want to sort of wrap up today by sharing with you what the commander's prayer is. Let's listen to that for a second.
Dear gracious God, I need you. Now more than ever before, I need you, for I realize how great is my task and how meager are my resources. Give me wisdom, I pray. When demands press in on every side, give me accurate eyes that can separate the important from the urgent, the fundamental from the incidental. Give me wisdom, I pray. When I ache for my soldiers' friendship, give me courage to earn their respect and obedience. Give me wisdom, I pray. When time and task pull in different directions, grant me clarity to see the way and peace to calm those around me. Give me wisdom, I pray. When decisions are demanded, may my walk match my talk. Remind me daily that the speed of a leader is the speed of the team. Give me wisdom, I pray. When my authority is tested, show me when to raise my voice and when to lower it. when to use the carrot and when to use the stick. Give me wisdom, I pray. When my time is done, may I be remembered as a leader who encouraged, not discouraged, as a man who built people up, not tore them down. Give me wisdom, I pray. When in victory, keep me humble. When in defeat, keep me from despair. Compensate my weaknesses, accentuate my strengths, mold me into the man you want me to be. Give me wisdom, I pray. And most of all, please keep my soldiers safe. Lead them, guide them, protect them, watch over them. And as you gave all of yourself for me, help me to give all of myself for them. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I hope our time together today will help bring some comfort to you. Because I'll guarantee you, when you wake up tomorrow morning and every morning and look at the headlines, there's a lot of reason for anxiety. There's a lot of reason for concern. There are difficult challenges all over the world. We have difficult challenges in our own country. We have increasing violence around the world and here in the United States. You should take comfort in knowing that at the highest levels of our government, we have seen firsthand publicly at the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, and we're seeing it regularly in the day-to-day workings of Washington, D.C., that the men and women that are in leadership positions are followers of Jesus Christ, regularly pray to God for the safety of the United States and for the strength of our people and for God's hand of protection to be on our nation. And that should make you feel better about where America is right now and what the future may hold. We are being led by godly men and women. Take heart. Well, this is Gary Bauer at Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Please tune in the next time.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.